This week, I learned something very interesting while talking to some undergraduates here at SLU. They told me that the phenomenon of asking someone out on a date directly, in person, verbally, has basically disappeared. Sounds very curious to me. What do people prefer? Even when they know the person they would like to ask out, and even when they are in the same room with them, the preferred method is the mediation of a dating app, or at best, texting. But you know these dating apps where you swipe left or right? This is now the preferred way to ask someone on a date. Why? Because it is one thing to entertain the idea of a person. It is something altogether different to venture a direct encounter with a living person. Much more risky. Much more risky. The Israelites set up the golden calf for themselves because they desire to see God. But an encounter with the living God is far too risky, far too demanding. And so they settle for worshiping their idea of God. And what is their idea? In the ancient Near East, it was very common to have golden bulls. And here we have a bull calf. It's an image of strength. What the Israelites understand is that God is the God of strength. So we will set up this representation of strength, and that is how we will worship God. Here's the thing about that. It's not wrong. They've seen something of the truth about who God is. God actually is all-powerful. But it's partial. It's more reflection of their own longings. Remember, they're ex-slaves, people in desperate need of a great vindicator. They need a God of strength. But this is more a reflection of their own longings than a real encounter. What if they were to chance an encounter? What if they left God free to be a real living person? That is precisely the same dynamic at play in our parable. Each of these sons sees something true about the ultimate good. What does the younger son see? The good of feasting, the good of pleasure, the good of celebrating the enormous abundance of life. That's a real good, and he sees that. How about the older son? He sees the good of justice, doing the right thing. Justice, justice. That's what he can see. And it is, in fact, good. The problem is that their partial perspective comes to form the definitive horizon for them. And it prevents them from seeing correctly. So, the younger son, all he can see is the inheritance, which is going to become a means for him to feast and to celebrate. But notice what he can't see. His own father. The older son, all he can see is a growing list of injustices, wrongs that have to be righted. And he can't see his own brother. Contrast this now to the remarkable figure of the father. The Father is the one who is willing to risk an encounter with His beloved, even if it costs Him everything. I think we would still be talking about this parable. It would still be completely and totally astonishing if we only had the first three lines of the parable. Let me read them to you again. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. Excuse me, what did he do? Can you imagine this? Your child comes to you and says, "Look, you're basically good as dead to me. You're worth more to me, in fact, dead than alive. So why don't you just go ahead and give me my inheritance?" That's shocking enough. That's shocking enough. But then the father does it. It is totally astonishing. I mean, that's enough for the entire parable. The father actually says, "Okay, you know what? I am happy to embrace death for you so that you might live." And we tend to forget that he actually does this for both of his sons. The younger son stays, but he has given out the inheritance. He has made himself indigent, cast himself totally on the mercy of the ones to whom he's entrusted himself. Shocking. This is for us a beautiful, real, profound image of freedom. This father who gives everything away. And for the same reason, he's even more prepared to feast than the younger son, and even more prepared to do the right thing than the older son. So go back in your mind to the part of the story where the younger son comes back. He has no shoes on his feet. He has been walking for a long time, tattered clothes, hungry. He is at a low point. And the father can see, now's the time to feast. This is what we've got to, this is the time to slaughter the fattened calf. Now's the time for feasting. Goes out to the older son. You know what justice requires here? Do you know what we have to do? We have to throw a great feast. So the father, because he's willing to risk everything, he can even see better what these two sons focus on entirely. Here's the question for you and me. And it's a question I think it would be worth praying on this week. Do I leave God free to be precisely who He is? A living person. In fact, a communion of persons. Do I leave God free to encounter me in an unscripted way where I am not controlling the narrative? Or do I feel tempted unwittingly to trade the living God for a static image that maybe captures something of who He is, but is not a real person? I leave you with something that St. Bonaventure, the great Franciscan doctor, said. He said, "Okay, no one can see God and live. True. Let's embrace that death and live with the living God." Amen.